More on those tax hikes at the top and tax help at the bottom that the president is set to unveil tonight. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Barack Obama tonight will urge what is now a Republican Senate and a Republican House to dump what the president sees as a loophole that allows the wealthiest of American families to pass on to their heirs a big tax advantage. Along with raising capital gains taxes for some in the higher brackets, the idea is to use the money to let low-income people keep $500 a year of their money when both spouses work, and, among other things, to help families with under 5-year-olds pay for child care. But let's start with a closer look at this trust fund business. David K. Johnston is a Pulitzer Prize-winning financial reporter and an expert on the tax system who also lectures at the Syracuse Law School. Mr. Johnston, good morning.
Good morning.
Some call it the angel of death loophole. Accent on the angel from the perspective of people who get to use this.
If you receive $100 million in stock that your father and mother bought for $1 million, you get the $100 million as if it costs that much. You can sell it and pay no taxes.
So essentially you get to inherit the tax protection.
Essentially, under our system, what you receive in an inheritance is tax-free, and the tax that would be owed is never paid on much of the capital gains if you're very wealthy.
Now, there are other parts of the president's proposal, including increasing capital gains taxes. But there's another piece of this, which is some relief for working Americans, middle-class families, starting with $500 tax credit when both spouses work. That would affect, it sounds like, a lot of American families.
It would affect about 24 million couples, and it would phase out at a total income of about $120,000 and be gone by $200,000. It would not benefit those way down the income ladder where they both work. If you both make minimum wage, this may not benefit you because it's a non-refundable credit. If you're not already paying taxes, you wouldn't get the benefit.
Some of the early concern and gathering opposition to some of what the president will propose tonight is the danger of penalizing success in America by raising taxes on the wealthy and the argument this could hurt America's economic health longer term. I mean, put another way, David, what's the incentive to earn more if more of the top bracket of income might go to the government?
So imagine you're one of the more than 300,000 households with an income over $1 million a year, and your tax burden is going to rise by 3 or 4 percentage points. So you're not going to earn the next $1 million because you'll have to give the government another $30,000 or $40,000. You're going to give up $900,000+. I don't think so.
We'll see how the president's proposals fare with this new Congress coming in here. David K. Johnston is a distinguished visiting lecturer at Syracuse University's Law School. His books about abuse by large institutions include Perfectly Legal, Free Lunch, and The Fine Print. David, thank you.
Thank you.
Now switching to China today, which said its economy grew by just 7.4% for all of 2014, down from 7.7% the year earlier. Growth has not been this low in China since the year 1990. While it's true that China's been suffering from rising debt levels and a grim housing market, the news isn't necessarily viewed as all grim. The BBC's John Sudworth is in Shanghai.
The headline figure here, 7.4%, China's missed its target. You can spin this any way you like. But despite those kind of headline issues, and they are significant, a lot of people will see this as pretty good news today. Growth hasn't slowed as fast as some people might have thought. But one real positive sign, some people are saying, is looking at the place where growth came from last year, and consumption made up more than 50% of it. And I think the Chinese authorities will see that as good news because, of course, that's exactly what they're trying to do in rebalancing the economy.
The BBC's John Sudworth. After the key index in China collapsed by nearly 8% on Monday, the CSI 300 index there earned a piece of it back today, closing up 1.2%. This after Chinese authorities cracked down on borrowing to buy stocks in China. Now, here's some other numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.7%. The DAX in Germany up 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up on this day after the long weekend for markets. I just mentioned that weaker economy in China. It uses less crude oil in that situation. Just one reason why the wholesale price is lower. Retail prices in the U.S., it's cheap, but it's cheaper for gas. But depending on the neighborhood, the average price is $1.75 a gallon in Missouri. But over in Brooklyn, New York, it can run $2.59 cash unleaded regular. Marketplace's Dan Weisman tells us what's behind these regional differences.
The explanation we hear most often is taxes. Pennsylvania's are the highest, more than 50 cents a gallon. Right next door, New Jersey is the lowest in the lower 48, 14.5 cents. There's also geography. Patrick DeHaan is a petroleum analyst with GasBuddy.com.
It's all about location. Missouri, Oklahoma areas that have among the nation's cheapest gas prices, they're very close to major infrastructure.
Meaning they've got lots of refineries nearby, and those refineries have pipeline access to cheap U.S. and Canadian crudes because there's not just one price for oil either. There are also lots of different gasolines, thanks to state and local regulations. Ethanol blends, emission standards, endless variations. Denton Sinkagrana is an analyst with the Oil Price Information Service.
The gasoline you may get in California is completely different from the gasoline you'll get in St. Louis and Dallas and Indianapolis.
And New York and Orlando, and you get the picture. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weisman for Marketplace.
And somebody in this world economy is doing well enough to buy a lot of fine art. Christie's The Auction House has totaled up the numbers for 2014. And according to the Wall Street Journal, Christie's sold $8.4 billion in fine and decorative art last year, a rise of 17% from 2013. $35 million of that total was people buying fine art online. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, Meg Kramer. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.